It was not thought of as wired because of course it was wired because we were thinking in terms of the early things about communication, computer communication networks, what was then called terminal oriented networks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look back to the history, you find out the way that computer communications networks started is there were various attempts at IBM and MIT to do multi-access to a computer. So that you didn't have to go through punched cards, and you'd have the ability to use one computer among a lot of people. So that you have a bunch of terminals, dumb terminals, in some adjacent adjoining room, and you'd have this big monster IBM machine, you know, all air conditioned in another.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problems had to do with these questions of how do you share computers. But by the time late 1960s came around, there was an interest in longer range networks, that is, networks which use modems for communicating over longer distances, say for the purposes of travel agents entering data to make reservations. A computer might be located in Chicago. In fact, we have such systems now.
Mm-hmm.
These reservation systems are very, very important. In fact, I've seen some reports where in some years, some companies like American Airlines made more on their reservation system, which is available on the airlines and agents, than they did on selling tickets. But it was rather primitive because you had to use modems, which were operating at about 600 bits per second.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great deal of interest in how do you speed this process up? How do you put more users on? And all the theoretical questions that had to do with these kinds of issues. At the time, the only person I know of who was working on those kinds of issues from a theoretical point of view was Len Kleinrock, who had completed a dissertation on queuing analysis of those kinds of networking problems. But by the late 1968, as you probably know, the so-called ARPANET was starting. But it was starting for a reason different than the internet is now. The reason was to basically share very expensive computers. So, I mean, that's not the problem now.
Right.
The computers are not expensive. And also to share very expensive software that was resident on those computers and very specialized people who were located at those machines and to reduce communications costs. The issue of the ARPANET and all these other things and this thing which was really the IBM version of commercial networks sort of started to gel. And by 1972, which was when I left Poly and I came here, Misha and I and a colleague, Bob Borsten at Poly, wrote a paper for a special issue of the Proceedings, I think it was, on computer communications. It was the first issue on computer communications, 1972. And if you go back, it's kind of archaic. That is, the whole issue is archaic, and certainly our paper, which was on terminal-oriented computer communications, which focused on this question of just using dumb terminals to access computers long range. There were various commercial systems already in place that attempted to do that, over modems. In fact, when I was at IBM, I worked on some of these problems, but I also worked on modem problems. In fact, one of them I got a patent on, VSB modems. A lot of interest in how you increase the speed of modems, which were at the time, as I said, about 600 bits per second.